sun is shining now, don't hide away. Find the right wine, take a sip, drink down.
It's Chet Hanks here, man. Bless up.
Wow, totally unexpected. Okay, Chet Hanks. That was great. I really loved
it. Hey, man. Pass the blunt, I'm Chet Hanks.
This is perfect because you're a white guy imitating it, which is Chet Hanks.
Chet Hanks. Chet Hanks, everybody.
I don't know why I said it like that, but that's fucking accurate. Shit. Hi, guys. Can you believe
we're doing a sound check.
Okay. I thought that intro was acceptable. I forgot that we were doing a sound. We were checking the sound. I don't want to say sound check. That sounds too formal.
Right.
But we were checking the sound, and I thought we were just starting the podcast. So, but we let's keep that shit.
Where's the line between acceptable and exceptional?
They seem so far apart on the scale.
It's just about your standards. They're two sides of the same coin. Yes. Whether you get the job done or you do it absurdly well, it's done.
It's done. We are literally podcasting 2 days in a row, bitches.
Did we really?
Yes, we podcast yesterday. And nice. We're podcasting today. So hopefully.
Podcasting from ground zero.
Literally.
Of the disaster that is my life.
Literally. We are at ground zero
right now.
You're getting
the play-by-play, folks.
Yes. We literally. Okay. So essentially. We've been hopping state to state for a little bit of time, okay?
Yeah, hip-hopping.
And so we had plans to go to one state, and then an opportunity showed up for us to go to another state. And so we said, fuck it, let's try it and see if it works out. If it doesn't, great, we'll continue with our original plan.
Right.
So we tried it. Didn't work out.
Kind of exploded and not exploded.
Let's not even explode it, but let's talk about it.
I learned a lot, but it wasn't.
We had an opportunity to like grow a business with someone, essentially.
Right. And they needed work. So I worked with this guy. It was terrible.
it was terrible
because
it
wasn't terrible. The thing is like it was working with somebody who has good intentions.
No, he was terrible. The experience was great because we stayed with really close friends that are
so good.
Fucking amazing.
I am so grateful for the fact that we got to stay with them. Like
yes.
Just being in their presence of people who are trying to function in the world with, I feel like are similar basic principles.
Absolutely.
But are doing it very, very differently from us. Like, it feels so good just being around people who get the shit that it feels like matters to me.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. But basically, we were like, fuck it, let's try this. And it's a little bit off of our path and what we were like headed towards. But like, we want to be open to as many opportunities as possible, basically.
Right.
You know, even
right.
If it doesn't look exactly what we're like going towards, we have, you know, there's a goal and being open to different paths is what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I'm always trying to think about and hope for suddenly coming into a huge amount of money. Right.
Yeah.
through very little effort.
I'm always hoping
for and trying to project that, but also more realistically, like I am always thinking about starting a business, doing something adventurous, taking the path, the road less traveled.
Right.
Those kinds of things, just like trying shit out. But I am also a very, very anxious person. Right, who gets bogged down and like, oh, I gotta do shit the right way instead of just like, just do something.
Which I hate to interrupt, but asterisk, we did learn recently that like, interesting enough to realize that like, hope is a form of anxiety as well.
Yeah.
And that has been a really interesting thing that I feel like we've recently learned in terms of me and what my anxiety looks like, and that realizing that even hope and like positiveness can form itself in ways of making you anxious as shit.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's just anxiety is like whatever that constant nagging thought and feeling is, that it's like maybe you have some control of what you can do about this. You might have some influence, but realistically, it's probably something that like you got to just wait and see how it goes. And it's like hope is that it's that constant like present feeling of like everything's going to work out great, or like I'm hoping I'm putting that energy and positivity. It's the same kind of energy as like, fucking everything sucks. Like, it's going to be shit. I don't know how the future is going to be. I know something's going to go wrong, and it's going to be so fucking difficult to deal with. Literally, okay. Fuck.
Well, yeah. Sorry. So, I ruined your story. So let's go back on track. So, basically, we are trying something new and deciding to stay open. So, we try this opportunity. And, basically, the guy who presented this opportunity doesn't end up following through. So,
yeah. It just ends up being something that it's, like, someone who it's, like, I'm not going to try and, like, partner with this person and risk my time and effort in life and shit like that. Risk the time, like the time that I spend in life, with somebody who, like, I just know I'm not gonna work well with, right? So, like, it was a very good learning experience and everything, and we kind of were like, oh, we'll treat this like a working vacation,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, we'll go and do some stuff.
Worst case scenario, we make some money.
Yeah, that's literally what we keep saying. Worst case scenario.
We've been saying that for like 3 weeks. Right. 2 weeks.
Because me, being the anxious motherfucker that I am, have been very concerned and projected a lot of, like, ooh, I don't know how this is going to go. Should I take this chance? What's going to happen? How am I going to feel about this?
Should I stay safe?
Right, right. So I just kept telling myself, worst thing that happens, you make some money, like, you work with this guy, it doesn't work out, you make some money and you go back home, that's it. Like, this is a trial run, we're doing this experimentally.
But not even that, I don't even think it was just, we were actively telling ourselves, but not like we were telling ourselves, like, making up a lie. Like, literally, if you look at the situation, that is the worst thing that could happen in that situation. But little did we know, we forgot that, like, there's also about a million other situations in life going on.
Right, 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 right. We had this idea of, like, I've got the full picture, right? No. Trust me, I've considered the possibilities. I know what could happen here. This is the worst that could happen.
We're make money. Fine.
Which, false. So that was a fucking lie. Like... Right. So, as we mentioned in the previous recording, the previous talk last that episode. We had, the car broke down. We got the news today that the car not only broke down, but it would cost more to fix the car than the car is worth. So, like, it's more to me, it's totaled. Like, I got to sell it.
We got stuck in a city we don't live in with a car that doesn't work.
Right. And on top of that, it's not like, oh, we're stuck in the city where we have friends and shit like that. We were like, you know what? Wild week. I learned some shit working with this guy. It was hard. We're going to go back to being around family a ton. Let's take
just a
day or two to be with each other and kind of have a little actual relaxation. And that's when the car broke down. So we're not in the city where we know anybody. We're having, like, we've ended up spending.
We just left our closest friends ever that could help us.
Right. Like, we've spent way more than we earned. Way. We did not make money on this venture. On top of that, now I'm also having to sell my car, which, by the way, also I was offered like a little over $3,000 for a week ago. Now my best offer is $300.
We didn't know the car was going to be broken.
Right. Well, I mean, the reason I could get somebody to offer me $3,000 for a 16-year-old car is because those things are great. They run forever. They work really well. It's a reliable vehicle. You can sell it for more than that usually if you do a little work on it. And now, today, my best offer is $300. It's just...
I can't take this seriously. Wait. But also, this week that we were trying out this job, work, whatever, business fucking venture, Andrew finally fixed, like, a fucking fender bender on his bumper.
Yeah.
And, like, got a new, like, basically made his car, like, brand fucking new.
Yeah. No, I had, the bumper was trashed and being
new tires.
Held on with zip ties. And my two front tires were, like, beat to shit. And so I found a bumper that matched at a junkyard, and it took me an afternoon getting this shit, but I put it on there and it looked fucking clean. It was reasonably priced, but at the same time, I did literally just spend about $150 on this car. So if we include that in the price of what I could sell it for today, I'm making about 150 on my vehicle. Like, fuck me. It ran like last week I could have gotten $3,000. Guys, we kept telling ourselves.
Why would we have sold it? We were using the car. I know. What are the odds of that shit?
The worst that happens is we make some money.
We've spent like $2,000 being out here.
Fuck.
Literally spent like $2,000.
Me, fuck this, fuck life.
This is in fucking insane.
It's hard to not just have the attitude of like, throw it all out the fucking window. Positivity.
Throw me out the window.
No, but like all this shit about how I tell myself, like, this is how I need to interact with life. This is what I need to do to be happy. This is how I can try and like operate in a peaceful and loving way throughout the life and the world towards myself and towards others and all this shit. It's like, fuck it. Everything's pointless. It all goes wrong. Who cares? Like, nothing's real. Let's just be sad. Right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I have tried that method. I have been like, oh, I'm not going to try it anything. And it's like, I ended up being like really overweight and really unhappy. And it's like, I could be healthy and struggling with feeling anxious and like, you know, having episodes of feeling really shitty.
It's interesting because that, like, nothing matters thing has like a completely different effect on me. Nothing matters thing makes me feel more empowered, right? Because it's the standards, it's what you're supposed to be doing, it's how your life is supposed to look or where you're supposed to be at this age that makes me feel like fucking choked, right? And so once I remove that and realize, oh, it's all bullshit, nothing fucking matters, then suddenly I'm like, oh, okay, I can do whatever the fuck I want and I will do it and there's no fucking pressure and life may fucking fuck up in ways that are out of my control, but it's okay and I'll keep fucking going. And so it's like, I cannot kill myself with stress. I cannot do it.
Right.
Life is gonna continue to throw shit at me all the time.
We're both nihilists.
What do you mean? What does that mean?
Not, I don't know much. I'm not like,
but I don't know what that word. What is that
it's
word?
Like, it's a philosophical like ideology, I guess, that kind of says like, there is no God. There's no afterlife. There is nothing. Nothing matters. Do, think, say, be whatever the fuck you want. It's meaningless. Right. And so you can hear mostly in that sentence, do, be, say whatever the fuck you want. Or you can mostly hear it's meaningless, right? And you and I are the two sides of 100%. That coin. Right? I'm like, it's meaningless. And you're like, I can be anything.
It's so true.
Right? But it's the same ideology that says it's all a fucking joke. Nothing matters.
Because it is. We literally, like, that's the thing is, like, I don't know. It's hard for me sometimes because communicating that to people sounds like you're just like really fucky or like bitter about life. But like,
yeah,
it's like, but it's like, no, I'm not bitter. I'm telling you, like, when like I have friends who are like feeling some type of way about something that's really just like a reflection of society putting that on them. I'm like, I try to explain, like, you know, it's fake, right?
Right.
And they look at you like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like,
right. That's where you and I both get the benefits of nihilism of like, I feel like we both are people who don't feel constrained by like these ideas of like, this is who or what you're supposed to be. We're kind of like, who says you can tell me what
but
I'm supposed
to be? But at
the end
of the day, we all are technically like, we're all brainwashed. So that's why I do have moments of hating myself from something like fucking as shallow as like your physical looks or like where you're supposed to be in life. Like those things, those feelings don't just like come from me. They're not inherently part of the human spirit. It's society. And this is the only society I know. So of course I'm going to have damages and fucking trauma and wounds from this place. So it's like, I don't always feel fucking incredible. I don't always feel confident. I don't always feel good. And it's, and so it's like, understanding where that comes from and understanding that you're operating in a world that's full of shit, that's trying to make money from you, that doesn't want you to be okay, that's gonna try and tell you that there's a million things wrong with you so they can sell you something, and just acting in a society like we are Monopoly. It's funny, we play Monopoly, but we are Monopoly.
Yeah,
we've all decided that what has value and what doesn't. It's not real. That's why Kanye can make shit that hobos wear and sell it for $8,000. He should be fucking ashamed of himself. Not because he is smart enough to make money doing that, but it's just like that. But that's why the whole thing with Champion. It's like suddenly Champion is selling their shit for like $400 for a sweater. And when we were in school, if you wore Champion, people made fun of you. It's all fake. People are deciding what is meaningful and what's not meaningful. So it's like people are, you know, 25 years ago, if you had a fat ass, you were disgusting. And everyone was trying to be as skinny as that.
That's not Kanye's shortcoming. Yeah, he's doing.
Oh, no, I'm not saying
he's doing the wrong thing. That's not a problem with Champion selling to these different demographics. What it is like the people who are allowing it and buying that shit. That more is flowing from a place of people not thinking about what money really is.
Right.
Right? They're thinking of like, oh, money just gets me what I want. I can do what I want with money. And it's like, no, money is a physical embodiment of power. And power is an energy. And energy has a flow. And they like it just gets misused because people have this like very thoughtless and careless attitude towards it. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know.
But I think that conversation, though, of a feeling like nothing matters and that empowerment of that comes from that space of people put value on what they want to put value on. It doesn't make it true. It doesn't make it real. We decide that. That's why today it's, you know, yesterday it was be as skinny as possible, no ass, no boobs. And then tomorrow it's have an ass as fat as fucking possible and a body thick as shit. It's not because one body type is better than the other. It's because the world is shifting and wanting to decide what's better than the other and what's going to make more money at the fucking time. Not because any of it is real, but because we're all like operating in a fucking game, aka fucking Monopoly. It's all bullshit.
That's weird though, because like it's interesting to bring up the idea of like body types and attraction too, because then you open up this idea of like a person's being almost can be affected by the pressure of what other people's opinion are, whether that's how you're wanting to appear or what you find appealing, right? Like, I think it's a trip to see that people are going to get like body image issues and feel a comparison about themselves and be trying to strive for some sort of idealistic appearance that isn't them, but they're trying to become that. And then on the other side, you have like some people who are having this thing where it's like, it just makes me wonder, because it's like if fat asses and thick thighs and all of that is considered more attractive now, does that mean that people can be told what to be turned on by?
Yes.
Right? That's crazy to me. Like, I don't know.
No, it isn't, though. It is crazy. It is.
Like, I say that, but at the same time, too, I'm like, I've only ever been turned on by a human. Right? There might be some kind of, like, cartoon image. Certainly there are cartoon images that, like, make you feel shit, especially, like, as a kid. Jessica Rabbit in Who Framed Roger Rabbit blew my little good Christian mind.
And that's the thing, though. She was drawn to look like that on purpose.
Right. They were still suggesting and telling you what to be turned on by.
100%.
Which is weird, because it feels like attraction and sexual motivation and drive and shit like that is closely tied in some way to like who we identify as, right? And if you can be told what to be turned on by, then like you can be told who you are.
100%.
Which is a trippy thing to realize that like we almost ingrain people with that, you know. It makes me think of that shit that people all the time mention that is so funny, of like, yeah, I'm fine with gay people. I just wish they wouldn't like push it in our faces. Like, that shouldn't be pushed on children and stuff like that, right? But every time like a little boy and girl play together, they're like, oh, is she your girlfriend?
So cute.
Are you guys going to get married someday?
And not even right? just that. It's like,
I wish you wouldn't push your sexuality on that
it's
kid.
It's like straight sexuality, straight cult, whatever culture. That shit gets pushed on us all day, every day. But you don't have a problem with that. You want to talk about being pushed. Suddenly there's a gay couple on TV and people are pushing an agenda.
Now they're trying to make me feel like I should like dudes.
Gay,
I know.
Gay people exist, honey. And if it was about, oh, this is going to make my child gay, like, right. that doesn't exist. That's not a real thing, because gay people would be straight if it was about being exposed.
Like, right. Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, this is not a, like.
What a good point.
Like, gay people would not be gay, because
if it was just about what you're exposed
people
to.
Pushed in their fucking face all day, every day.
Okay, so then now we're saying that it doesn't matter what you're being told you should like. People still clearly feel something different at times.
But sexuality,
which I
is
think
a
is
different
true.
Thing. That's who you're choosing to have an intimate, share
you think
your
sexuality
body
and attraction are different things?
No. I think sexuality and being told that you should be a size zero on television are a different form of telling you what you should do or not do.
Right. But I'm also thinking, well, like I was talking about, like, you know, if for women, fat asses are and curvy bodies are more desirable now, is it are more men like feeling that way because they've been told to versus how many
no.
men?
Well,
I think that there's always been a fair number of people attracted to every type of body on the spectrum,
but they won't honestly admit that they're attracted to multiple bodies on the spectrum. They want to be openly attracted to what's supposed to be cool in the media at that time, so
right.
it's like, you can be influenced, but at the end of the day, even without, I truly think, yes, we all have our attraction. There's things we don't like, things we're not attracted to. But at the end of the day, like, I feel like it really highlights this idea of like being attracted to a person, being attracted
yeah.
to people. And it's a
I'm
wide range.
I'm not attracted
range.
To a body
and now,
type or.
And it's like, of course you're going to be suddenly attracted to fat asses if like that's all you're fucking seeing on TV, or you're attracted to no asses, not like only attracted to,
right.
but partly also attracted to. And so it's like they've been hiding it. And now that it's socially acceptable, now they're coming out the fucking woodwork. But before it was like, no, I my girl has to be like really fucking skinny or no fucking thank you.
Right.
Right. And I'm only using skinny as an example because that's what the media pushed. If the media pushed girls only with fat asses and thick as shit, that's what would be my example. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be
right.
like, okay,
right.
you have to look this way. It's whatever the media is pushing as you have to present this way or look this way to be fucking some level or elite. You know what I mean?
Right. It's just interesting to realize that, like, once you start to feel removed from the influence of media and what's fucking out there, it looks and feels really trivial. It's like, what the fuck? Who the fuck gives a shit what they say about anything? Like, you want to say some body type is what
women's
I'm supposed
bodies
to be
is a trend. That's how they make money. That's right. how they sell us shoes and clothes and hair products and what we look like, because that's how you're supposed to be. And your eyebrows are supposed to look like this, and your eyelashes are supposed to look like this, and you're supposed to get this look and this plastic surgery. And at the end of the day, honey, stay the way you look. And I bet you, if you're alive long enough, your fucking time will come around
yeah,
where the way you look is the most popular. Because
you're gonna be in trend at some point.
You're going to be in trend at some point, and that should tell you alone that it's bullshit. And like, and this is not about saying that you can't have plastic surgery, you can't want to change something. You can do those things, but it is important to understand where that comes from, and to analyze if that's something that I really want to change, or if I'm changing because I feel pressure. And that's just something personally that I feel like I would want to do. I'm not against plastic surgery. I don't give two shits if a woman wants to give herself a fake ass and titties. Rock your shit. If you feel good, I feel good. Do what feels good
right.
for you, bitch. I don't judge. I don't think, oh, natural bodies are better, or plastic bodies are better, or whatever the fuck you want to do. Do what feels good for you.
Right.
But if you are going to sit there and punch yourself and feel terrible, and that's why you're doing these things, all I want to do is urge you to take a look at the world that you live in and why you might feel that way. It's okay to feel bad. We all have bad days, and there's a reason we feel that way. It's because of the influences that we have. But before you make decisions that you're not sure about, make sure you're doing it because you want to do it, not because you need to look some type of way for somebody or for something. Because fuck that shit. Because like I said, if you're alive long enough, the way you look is going to be the most popular fucking thing on the front of a magazine. Like, right. It's just what it is. It's true.
Right. And at the end of the day, you got to also recognize that when you're not conscious of it, what's on the front of a magazine can affect your opinions and ideas and views of how things should be. 100%. But when you are aware of it, you are able to brush that shit off and be like, I don't care, because nothing in that magazine says anything that matters to me.
Right.
So what the fuck does it matter?
Right.
I can go on feeling how I feel about myself and how I feel about the world. I'm not worried about that horse shit.
For sure. 100%. And it's just, it's a lot. It's just whatever. Anyways.
How far in are we?
We are about to be 27 minutes in.
Dang. That's a perfect time. I got to pee real bad.
All right. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. There's not going to be a commercial. We're either going to cut it or I'm going to talk right now.
Do a commercial. Tell them. Give them something. Sell
them. Give them something. Okay. All right. Let me give you guys a little sign. I wanted to say something about Andrew, but he's peeing with the door open, so he's going to be able to hear me. But I just want to say that I've been very impressed in how he's handled this, like, super fucking scary and just stress-inducing couple weeks. And I feel like I've almost been a lot more stressed and losing my mind than I expected to be. So I feel like we've just done a really good job at balancing each other out, because it's been really hard. Like, there's moments where I feel like, you know what, I'm okay, everything's okay, like, fuck stressing out. And then, like, 30 seconds later, I'm just like, the world is ending, I need to make this stop, like, I can't fucking do this, like, let it, like, I can't. And so it's really been a roller coaster, and I think we're both on a roller coaster, but luckily I feel like our highs and lows have been timed, so we can, like, come together and make it make sense. So when I'm high, he's low, and when I'm low, he's high. And I feel like it's been, like, a really good balance in trying to figure that out, because our emotions are definitely all over the place. Also, I hate the fact that Andrew is eating snacks after going to the bathroom instead of joining me, because he's, like, looking at me like, oh, she's got it. She doesn't need me. Let me all right. eat some.
Here's the thing, though. We've been talking about this wild fucking trip and all these things.
We didn't even finish the story.
Experienced.
They hate us. We'll go back. We'll go
What's
back.
What's there to finish? The car's totaled. I got to figure out how to sell it here.
We literally, our car, let me give you a time frame. Our car, we leave our friends' places to go to another state on Sunday. But that day that we left, the car broke down on the middle of the fucking freeway. Okay. Then we have to get taken off the freeway, and then we have to call another tow truck that takes us to the Airbnb. And then we find out that the car is totaled, blah, blah, blah. Then we go and we try and, like, rent a fucking car. We're basically here for, like, 6 days. A forced 6-day vacation.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting here trying to figure out what the fuck's going on with the car. We're having to fucking Uber, pay a bunch of money for Ubers, pay a bunch of money for Airbnbs. Then I'm like, then we realize, okay, fuck, we're gonna have to rent a car. Like, let's just fucking rent a car. Rent a car. We take our asses there. I need to talk about this, because I didn't get to bitch out this piece of fucking shit the way I wanted to bitch him out.
You tell him, baby.
Okay. We're at, okay, so I ordered this car rental online through Priceline, okay? I get this car rental. I do, like, the prepay thing. I'm like, should I do the fucking insurance protection? Huh, the way our life's been going the last 2 weeks, I should do the fucking insurance protection. I get the insurance protection. The price for, like, 3 days ends up being, like, over $300. Okay, fine, whatever. We pay it. We do what we gotta fucking do. We get to the car rental place. We Uber there because we don't have a fucking car, because it's at the mechanic.
Yeah.
Uber to this place. We get there. Shout out to Hertz. Fuck y'all. Fuck Hertz and your mama and your mama's mama.
And Priceline and Hertz colluding together to fuck with people.
To fuck people. So we get to the Hertz. Go in, and Andrew goes in, and he asks for the fucking reservation. basically, what, they don't fucking have it? I'm outside with all our 800 fucking bags.
No, no,
we
no.
Don't
they
have a
had
car.
The reservation. They had the reservation. It's just that when they take reservations, they don't account to make sure that they have the available services
make
to
it make
provide.
Sense. Make it make
it
sense.
It would literally be like calling
this
a restaurant.
Happened
today,
by
it
the
would
way.
Be like calling a restaurant and saying, hey, I need a table for 4 at 6:30. And they're like, great,
no
what's
problem.
The name? Okay, perfect. We'll see you then. And you show up and you're like, hey, I have a reservation. And they're like, oh, sorry. When you make a reservation, that just lets us know that you're planning on coming in. We still fill up everything. We don't do anything different. There's no tables. You'll have to wait 40 minutes. Motherfucker, why did you take the reservation?
I'm sorry, not 40.
You're fucking with
no,
me.
No, 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 not 40 minutes.
Oh, this is a made-up situation at a restaurant. They wanted us to wait 3 fucking hours, which also was a
minimum.
Fucking lie.
3 hours minimum. They want to know. Okay, so we get there. Andrew tells me this. I'm fucking pissed. Of course, we have all like 8,000 bags around us sitting at the fucking place, and they don't have a single fucking car. And then he's like, oh, but we have this one van. And I'm
it's
like,
a 12, big 12 passenger,
a 12 van. Passenger van,
right?
A fucking school bus.
Big ass
they want
bus.
Us to drive. And I'm like, first off, that's not even gonna fit in where we're in a fucking parking spot. And on top of that,
the gas is gonna be so expensive.
Thank
and
you.
The insurance was fucked on it. It was so much more expensive than what we had already bought.
On Priceline. He's trying to charge us extra goddamn fucking money. And I go in there like, I already paid. Here's my bank statement. It shows that this already charged me for fucking insurance. Don't charge me more because you don't have the fucking car I reserved.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck to tell you.
They were just not helpful at all. And so we were like, all right, well, fuck it. We'll just have to wait then. But this literally was like right by the airport.
Because he tried to have us pay another 100 fucking, 100 and something dollars for the insurance on this big ass van that is way more expensive than a regular car.
Right. So we're like, fuck it. I guess we'll just have to wait here. But we have like a fuckload of bags because my car's broke down. We had to get out of the Airbnb. I'm trying to sell my car now. So we had to pull all my shit out.
He tried,
all this stuff.
And he also tried to tell us that the insurance that I had already paid for wasn't their business, basically.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, yeah. He said, that's your insurance
handle.
Which is like, it is true. You're the driver. It's your job to be insured. But at the same time, it's like, man, you're providing the service. Help people understand what the fuck is going on when you are the person
you
who's
partner.
Getting fucking paid for this shit. You partnered with these people.
He said,
you have deals with these people.
Yep.
Don't tell me that you don't know what the fuck's going on. Either way, all that to say, we waited a little while because we were like, we're going to have to wait.
I see other cars on the lot. And so I say, and he gets the van ready for us. And we almost took it. We said, okay, fuck it. And then I got so goddamn mad. I said, fuck it. We're waiting. Tell him we can fucking wait these 4 hours. Fuck him. Tell him we can wait the 4 hours.
Yeah. So we did. And we waited a few minutes. And then I was like, these jets were flying over, landing. And it was so fucking loud and annoying. I was like, all right, fuck this. And I went in there. And I was like, I pretty much like went to him. And I was really calm. I was like, hey, man. So this situation's unacceptable.
Fucking
yeah, nobody had been anything other than very nice and polite to this guy, other than saying like, really, this is the best we can do, right? So I went in there and I was like, this situation's unacceptable. And he immediately starts being like, well, it's not my fault. Literally verbatim, he says, it's not my fault. This. I'm trying to make everybody happy. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. And I literally go, I was like, okay, that's fine. I get that it's not your fault. But at the end of the day, you are the face of the company who is taking a large amount of my money and now fucking me. And I don't really feel interested in paying to get fucked like this. So if there are any other options, let's explore those. Because this situation is unfucking acceptable. And suddenly he was like, oh, yeah, yeah, there's this other car. Somebody else reserved it a couple months ago. But I can clean it up. Let me just clean it up and make sure that it's okay for you. But I think we can go with that. And suddenly we were out of there like 30 minutes later.
Bro,
I was so fucking mad. I was so mad.
You're mad? And I'm outside. I'm outside, right? Andrew's inside handling this because I lost my mind. Not even really. I wasn't even that rude to him. But
no, you were very polite and reasonable.
Going in there and him talking about charging fucking Andrew for something I paid for already. And I'm like, excuse me, make it make sense. And all he could give me was answers like, I don't know what to tell you. I can't help you. You need to call them. You need to do this. And I was like, Stop asking me fucking questions. You're the one that I'm getting this car from. Like, I don't give a shit what you, like, what you think you do or don't know. I'm spending money, and I do not want to get fucking double charged for this shit. He hated me, and he didn't want to fucking hear it. I'm like, I was so fucking pissed. And I was like, you need to do something. And on top of that, you should be fucking giving me a refund for sitting on your steps for 4 hours for a car you didn't have but advertised, but you have no fucking problem taking the money out of my fucking account.
Make it
make sense. And then the fact that then Andrew goes in there and is like, this isn't gonna fly. And then you decide that you have the time to clean the car on your fucking lot.
Right. It was the biggest load of horse shit.
Bro. Like, I had to sit outside on the stairs and let Andrew handle it because I could not.
This is our unpaid Hertz promo. Fuck those cunts.
Fuck
their
Hertz.
Shit's weak. Poor customer service. And on top of that, I've been in many, many foul-smelling places in my life.
Oh, it smelled like ass.
And this fucking Hertz office had the most potent and powerful and lingering stale fart smell I have ever encountered. All right? Ever. It smelled like someone farted 10 hours ago and filled the entire, like, the entire volume of gas in that space was filled with ass stank. And then just allowed to dilute through the natural fucking way that oxygen works itself in. But it was potent, it was strong, and it was lingering. Like, I would think if I walked in there and I smelled that, I would be, oh, fuck, somebody farted. And they just have, like, a weird, bad-smelling fart. But then I had to go in there over and over again for, like, an hour and a half. And I was like, it smells the same every time. Nobody just farted. This place is the literal physical embodiment of farts. I hated it.
Okay. Also, I need y'all to understand that we are sensitive, we are passionate, we are angry, we are aggressive because this happened like 1 hour ago.
Yeah.
We are, this is, for our sake, I want to say this is Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. To future Marissa and Andrew, y'all did it. You made it. You made it through the hard shit. Holy shit.
You made it.
I want you to look at each other and stick your tongues in each other's mouth and be like, holy shit, we did it. We did it, bitch. And
we now
I want
made you to, it through
I want
that
you to,
shit
I want
ass
you to
day.
Chest pump. I want you to run across your fucking house and chest pump each other. That's how I feel right
chest
now. Anyways.
Pump. You mean chest bump?
What'd I say?
Chest pump. How do you, are you talking about milking? Are
chest
you going to breast?
Bump. Hell no. Don't talk that into her.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, anyway. Guys, everybody out there, please pray for sterility and no babies and just wish that good energy and blessing on us because we do not want fucking children. Oh my God.
You might offend some people with these words.
That's fair. And I don't mean it. I don't mean to say that anybody else shouldn't want to have kids. I just personally
have
no desire to be a father whatsoever. None at all in all of my being. And on top of that, there's this part of me that's like, with everything going on in the world and also how exceptionally broke I am, I'm so fucking grateful that I don't have kids. And I'm so fucking grateful that I don't have to think about having kids. Like, that's not on my horizon. So I'm not telling anybody that you shouldn't want kids. I'm not telling anybody with kids that you're dumb for having it. Like, and you do what you do, and somebody's got to make more babies. I just don't want to. And if you want to wish good for me, wish that these swimmers are weak.
I want to note this time because I always give Andrew shit, and I'm like, because clearly, like, as you could tell by his dissertation, we don't want children. We don't hate children. We want 100 nieces and nephews.
Love
don't
kids.
Get fucking confused. We love kids. We hate parents. That's our motto. Love kids, hate parents. And so we don't want to be them. that's literally us. I'm not kidding. Like, kids are, like, I feel like I am a kid, you know? Like, a kid at heart, you know? I really feel that. So to all our friends, please have many, many babies because we need to niece and nephew all of them.
Yeah.
But yeah. I always give Andrew shit and I say, if either of us changes our mind, I think it's going to be you first. Even though not that it makes sense because we're both very like not on that page. But I still think it's going to be Andrew first. So let's note this and let's recount this sometime if he changes his mind in 10 years.
Yeah, and recount it sometime if you change your mind in 5 years.
What? I'm so excited.
You've got the internal clock, all right? My shit could be good for way longer.
That's true. We could be 70 and you're like,
so
I'm ready,
a
baby.
Lot, like, if minds are going to change, it would make more sense that I would be the one who would change later. All I'm saying. Also, I know myself better than you, and I'm a lot smarter.
Wait a minute. It took me a minute to process. Maybe you are.
No, I'm not.
I know you're not.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Geez.
Yeah. So we are currently on day two of our 6-day excursion.
Yeah.
So we will.
And if
be
you
here.
Know anybody who wants to buy a broke down 04
Honda
Accord
that looks
six
brand
cylinder.
New on the outside,
yo, hit me up. It shit don't work, but you can buy it.
Shit, bro. We've honestly, it's like we feel so like spiritually intuned lately in the past like year and shit. And so like even when bad shit's going on, it feels like there's just signs all the time. Everywhere. And oh my god, I just said that and I looked at the come as you are sign that's currently in this Airbnb, which we were talking about. Okay, can you tell them about our walk to the supermarket and who decided to come?
Oh yeah. So the car broke down and we've been staying in Airbnbs and we're trying not to spend like absurd amounts of money while having fun in this place that we weren't planning on being. So it's like, oh, let's walk to this little corner store. Of course.
Which is like 2 miles uphill.
Yeah. 2 miles uphill both ways. Fucking. It was a walk. Yeah. It wasn't that far. Honestly, it wasn't a long distance. It was just really fucking steep.
Super steep.
Right. And we get there and the store's closed. Figures. And no stores within close walking distance. So we're like, cool, cool, cool. Let's go home and cry ourselves to sleep. And on the walk back, we're going along and I see like a skunk run through somebody's front yard. And I was like, oh shit, look at that. Skunks. We're like in the city. They got skunks. Look at that. All right, cool, cool. And then we're like getting right up to the Airbnb house that we're staying at. We're walking along the sidewalk and like there's a little bit of like a rustling and then out from behind somebody's trash can that was by the street, a skunk like pops out. But it like he like hops all the way right into the middle of the sidewalk.
I'm sorry, he's doing physical motions right now. It's killing me.
He went from behind the trash can that wasn't on the sidewalk to the center of the sidewalk, facing us,
like,
tail up, right?
Muscles so, bulged.
I didn't see that much. It was dark,
he was squaring us the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, because that's what skunks do. They'll go into a little handstand when they're really gonna, like, when they're really trying to be threatening. This guy didn't, because as soon as we saw him, I was like, all right, go this way. And like we
he
just walked to the other side of the street real quick, because it's like, you know.
You know, no, that's not what you said. You know what you said, right?
No.
You said, nope. And you grabbed my hand and pulled me off the sidewalk. Like, it was literally in a blink of an eye how quick that happened. The fucking skunk jumped onto the sidewalk. Because I, like,
we didn't see him for sure.
Yeah, we didn't see the skunk before. I think he was rustling in trash and heard us and just automatically jumped on the sidewalk. But he basically jumped on the sidewalk, like, completely looked like he was, like, squaring up like a fucking pit bull. And within, like, 0.000 seconds, Andrew was like, nope. Like, literally right as he stood out. Like, I couldn't even process that there was a fucking skunk in front of us by the time Andrew had pulled us off the sidewalk. Like, it was literally that fucking fast. Like, he was like, nope, and pulled me.
Yeah, I did not want to get sprayed. I was like, fuck that. No way. No way. But, yeah, it was really funny. And then now, of course, we had to go and look up what the spiritual significance, what kinds of omens the skunk brings.
Yeah, because I've never seen a skunk in person before.
Yeah, she had never seen one. I've had a couple of close encounters. Never been sprayed, but I've had a few close encounters with our skunky friends.
Yeah.
They're honestly, they're like, I feel like they're very, they're kind of like cute little animals. Like, I like them, but they stink. You know what I mean? Like, I've always liked skunks.
Yeah. I don't, like, I feel like I've never actually smelled like a skunk smell. Was that, did you smell it there?
No. I don't know what, there was a smell,
there
but
was a smell,
it
but
didn't
know
smell
if
like
was...
skunks to me. You've never, like, smelled when you're driving down the road, like, caught a whiff of a skunk. They, when they get
no,
hit,
like,
they...
I don't know what a skunk smells like. Maybe.
I mean, there's a reason that people say weed can smell skunky.
That's what people say, and I'm like,
there can be some crossover.
The herb.
There can be some crossover. Before I became really familiar with how weed smells, the first time I smelled weed, I was like, oh, I can definitely get that like skunk and BO reference that people talk about. Now I don't smell that at all. Now I just smell beautiful, delightful, danky cannabis.
For sure.
But there is a little weird crossover smell-wise, but it smells awful. And apparently if it gets on you, it's like absurdly hard to wash off.
Yeah, I know. You're supposed to, like, I see movies where people like soak themselves in like tomato juice or some shit.
Yeah, I don't know if that really works, but maybe. It might. I'd rather just burn my skin off with acid.
Yeah. I mean, why not, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
life has
that's
been
update.
Insane, and it's weird because like I feel like I'm telling a story, but like I'm telling a story that I'm in right now. Like we're here, we're in it. We've got a few days left in this state, and we're gonna try and fucking in this city, and we're gonna try and sell this car for as much money as we possibly can. We already got the rental, and we're dropping it off in our. it's just we're making it work. We're literally taking it step by step. I feel like we're trying to recognize all the positives and all the things that we can learn and see and be aware of in this situation. But I know in these times that like we're really lucky, and I know that we're really taken care of. And I don't know, I'm just trying to stay positive, even though it feels like holy shit. And honestly, we were talking about it today, and it feels like this year has brought upon all of our biggest stresses and our biggest fears.
Yeah.
100% our
it's
biggest.
It's been very challenging.
Like, if you knew Andrew, all he does is stress about his car. And
car
it,
shit.
It doesn't matter.
Not
because
me.
Not because he has a car that breaks down all the time, or because it's really fucking old and it just doesn't work. He just stresses about the idea of, if my car breaks down, I'm not going to have what I need. I'm not going to have the transportation and the money it takes to fucking fix a car or have to buy a brand new car. Like, that's just like a stress that always weighs on him, even unreasonably so. And yeah. And the fact that this has happened and a lot of other stuff this year, this is just a small example. Like, there's been a million things this year that has happened that have been insane, and maybe one day we'll talk about them, but right now, you know, there is a part of me that keeps like my life private, but it's been a really crazy year. But when I think about all the things, it's like holy shit, like it's a bunch of stuff that I always felt so afraid of happening, and then it happens and it's like, oh shit, you're still alive. And there's this feeling of a lesson of, you guys need to stop stressing about these things, because there's nothing to fucking stress about. It's not the end of the world if they happen. And so there is a gratefulness that I feel to face fears and realize that, like, there's nothing. Like, fuck them. Fuck them.
Well, and it's also like, yeah, you're going to feel scared shitless a lot. That's par for the course. That's normal. What the real challenge is accepting the fear and the stress and all of those things as par for the course, and saying, I can still have fun when I feel those things. I can still be happy and experience good shit.
So true.
While dealing with the fact that I gotta sell this car. Like, I'm gonna figure out how to have and make the most of this vacation while we're here. And I'm gonna figure out how to sell this car. And it's at, like, the end of the day, no matter how well I do at either of those things, next week I'm gonna be alive and figuring out life too. So it's like, doesn't fucking matter how I do. Just do your best and like get through it, and what the fuck ever. It doesn't
right.
matter.
And it makes me think of, like, I think I mentioned this last podcast, but like, just that idea of, the only real regrets I've ever had was not allowing myself to feel the positive and the happiness, even when the time was stressful. And literally life has forced us into that situation right now.
Right.
Where everything around us is great. We're staying at bougie ass Airbnbs. even though it's money we don't have, we do have it. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't have it, but I do have it.
Yeah, it wasn't in the budget for this, but it is.
It's there. We had it. It's there. And it's, we're in nice areas. We're not like fucking on the streets. We're in, you know, we're staying in nice places. We're comfortable. We're doing well. And it, but like, it's a really fucking stressful and quote unquote bad situation. And so it's like, can you appreciate all of the incredible things around you right now? Can you do both? Because they can live simultaneously together. And I need you to learn to do that. And that's what life feels like it's telling me right now. You need to learn how to live.
Yeah.
And you need to learn how to juggle both.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to happen at the same time. And you're not going to get to a point where everything feels okay. But what you can do is learn to make the most of the things that feel good while handling the stuff that doesn't feel good with the least stress. And that's the, I feel like that's the real lesson.
Because that's life.
But all that to say, that's like one of the big lessons. But the real value, the real gold, what was worth it for this trip, you guys, if you're smart, you have tried Cheetos, cheddar jalapeno Cheetos. One of the most delicious snacks ever. Now, Cheetos has made Cheetos flavor shots, cheddar jalapeno asteroids. That's what it says on the pack. They call them asteroids. They're delightful. They're delicious. I found them at the mini mart. Guys, I would pay thousands of dollars for this knowledge. I would go through weeks of working with frustrating people. I would give up tens of hundreds of cars to get the knowledge and the opportunity to snack on Cheetos flavor shots, cheddar jalapeno asteroids. Motherfucker.
In the freezer.
Yeah, you got to freeze them. Got to freeze them. Don't be stupid. We like, everybody, freeze your chips.
We put all PSA, the chips in the freezer.
Freeze your chips and your cereal, too.
Cereal.
Don't chips, be a dumbass.
For sure. Anything that's dry that is really good crunchy,
freeze it.
Freeze it. And we were playing like fucking catch in our mouths fucking with the asteroid jalapeno Cheetos last night. Yeah, we should have gotten like 80 of those. We should try to find them again. I feel like we have to go back to the hood.
Simply Scrumptious Lesson or maybe Amazon.
Where did we get them?
We got them from the market.
By the first Airbnb.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I want more of them right now. But anyways, yes, they're fucking delicious. Put things in the freezer. Make them crunchy as shit. I don't know.
And keep listening to The Drift.
Keep listening to The Drift. Pass it on to your friends and let them know ahead of time that this is not a perfectly curated, really cool people who can give you advice about life podcast. Because that's not what we are.
But you should definitely write in if you want to. I would love to hear what people think about the dumb decisions our dumbasses have been making trying to not fucking die in life. Like, yo, if you got some critiques, if you got some encouragements, if you got a question, an observation, a poem.
Yeah.
Yo, if somebody wants to write us a poem,
we'll read that shit.
Yeah,
put
dramatically.
Social media handle on your shit. Like, we'll fucking tag. We'll fucking say any social media tags you want to put. Like, we'll fucking let all our three people who listen hear your tag.
Yeah, yeah. Unless it's like some fucked up shit.
Yeah, no, not fucked up shit. We don't like fucked up shit here.
Yeah,
we're open. We're people who we don't like judgment. We
no
don't
like pro polluting the ocean hashtags or anything.
No pro climate change shit. No pro Trump shit. No anything that removes anybody's right to just fucking live and be alive. We don't like that shit over here.
Right.
Yeah. We like real shit. We like real conversations. We like honesty. We like vulnerability. And even though I'm not perfect at it, nobody's perfect at it, that's what this podcast is for us selfishly, is a way to even just reflect for ourselves, but to be able to be as real as possible. Honestly, even if just someone hears that like someone else's life isn't fucking perfect and they realize that like, okay, like it doesn't have to be some type of way, like great. Like, I'm not alone. Like, shit fucking happens. Like, that's really how I feel about it. Like, I really don't care about all the other bullshit, you know?
All the other bullshit is nothing. It ain't real. Why would you care about it?
I don't know. Is that a real question? I don't fucking know. Because the world tells me I should.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Thanks for listening, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.